Join us for this episode of Feasting on Fiction, where we are feasting on Star Wars. Care for some blue milk? Welcome to the first episode of Feasting on Fiction. Today we are talking about Star Wars and all the great food in the Star Wars universe. I'm Anne, your host, and joining me today will be Jen and Jen Fred. Welcome, ladies. Let's go ahead and get started. All right.
Feel a great disturbance in the Force.
Exactly. Oh, right off the bat, we have disturbance in the Force. Man, that's episode one. What are you going to do? Hi, Jen, Fred, and Jen.
Hi.
So this one is about Star Wars, and I know both of you are varying levels of Star Wars geek. So
absolutely.
You know, we're going to keep this simple. There's no gatekeeping in Anne's world. Whatever level of fan you are is completely cool. What we're going to start with, what your favorite Star Wars movie is, or if you maybe don't necessarily have a clear favorite, just why you enjoy the universe. And Jen, Fred can go first.
All right. So fan level, I'd say I'm somewhere in the medium kind of range. Of course, I am of the generation where I was young when the first trilogy came out, and I remember taking my pillow and my blanket to the movie theater and watching them with my brothers, and it was amazing then. But then I kind of fell away from it, and when the next set came out, it was a long time before I watched those. But now I have a son, and he's gotten into it, and that, of course, has dragged me right back into it. So now at this point, I have seen them all, and I don't know if I really have a clear-cut favorite. I thought Solo was pretty fantastic, the side story over there. That one was very enjoyable. Outside of that, I would think maybe Rogue One is probably my other favorite.
Yeah, I have to say, I went into Solo with no expectations because I'm a Harrison Ford ride or die. I thought that was going to be terrible, and I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. So I was very happy with how Solo ended up. And I adore Donald Glover as young Lando. That was
For sure. He really did a phenomenal job with that role.
He really did. That was amazing. That was one of those like big shoes to fill, and he absolutely nailed it.
Nailed it.
All right, Jen. Other Jen of Jen and Jen.
Jen 2, the sequel. So I remember going to see Star Wars, the episode 4, the original Star Wars, the real Star Wars, when I was 7. And it was so magical to me. Like, I was a super nerdy kid, and I lived in like books in my head. And then I sat in this movie theater, and I saw like all those big ideas kind of brought to life. It was so completely thrilling, and I was absolutely in love. It also gave me cred with the boys in the neighborhood, because then like when they wanted to like, let's go play army, and I'm like, no, let's play Star Wars. And I'm, you know, Princess Leia, and like I had a named character, and I was like shooting people and fixing stuff and being a badass. So that was pretty great for me. I remember at the end of Empire Strikes Back, like sobbing all the way home. My mom made fun of me for 30 years because I was so crushed that Obi-Wan lied, you know, because I really believed in him. So I was pretty invested. When the second trilogy came out, a lot of my friends are my age, and we all went together. Like, it was a big deal, and we were so crushed, you know. And I went to the second one, and I've still never seen, I don't even know the name of the third one in the second trilogy. Like, I've never watched it. It made me a bad fan. But I love the reboot. I love what they're doing now. I love that the story's closing. I love Rey. I love that it's not such a one-dimensional universe. It's been made I think, modern and fresh in really great ways. And my kids have been loving them. You know, they watch Solo. They're watching all the side stuff. They're watching the animated things. So I think as that universe has gotten bigger, it's gotten better. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 5, I'm like a 2.5 fan. I'm not good at keeping up, but, you know, I love it a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. So I was younger when the original came out. 4 came out when I was about a year old. I don't remember the first time I saw it. I remember it being shown on TV a lot and watching, even if it was just, I remember one time very specifically, it was the throne room scene at the end where she was giving them the medals. And I was like, shh, 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 Star Wars is on. And we had to watch it, even though it was 30 seconds. I'm definitely an original trilogy girl. The prequels, I'm kind of with you. Like, I feel like as a fan, I have to love them, but there's so many parts of them that I just don't enjoy the way I feel like I should. And I was excited by the new trilogy a lot. I agree that they've expanded it in such great ways. I was not a Last Jedi hater. I really enjoyed where that went, and I really enjoyed what felt like the closing of Luke's part of the story. I was fine with all of that. I love all the spinoffs. We love The Mandalorian. I just got my pop of Baby Yoda, the child, today, like 2 weeks early. It's so exciting. But I think I'm with Jen Fred that Rogue One is one of my absolute favorites. I loved the way it tied everything in and just took that sort of throwaway bit from episode 4.
That one line.
And they turned it into this amazing movie. And I remember that moment in the movie that reality dawned on me and was like, wait a minute, they can't get out of this alive. They're not in the movie. There's no, what would the story be? Like, oh, you were successful and now you are all on vacation? Like, there's no way to.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that aspect of it going in. And I remember we saw it as a family over Christmas. And we went to go see something else and they had switched the movies because it was a Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're going to watch this Star Wars thing. I remember Anna at the time was maybe 13. And she leaned over towards the end. She's like, if they kiss right now, I'm getting up and walking out. It would ruin the whole movie. And I'm like, yeah. And that was when I realized, because they're all going to die. And then, you know, we walked out and I'm like, yeah, that was the feel good movie of the holiday season. And then I had to go to work. But it was so well done.
It was so well done in the way they broke your heart and then gave you Leia at the end to tie it all together.
Yeah.
I will never be over Carrie Fisher passing away before we got the true Leia installment of the new trilogy. But
I have my 70s era ringer t-shirt with the plastic iron-on Princess Leia thing that got all crackly in the wash and wore it till it disintegrated.
Yeah. I was always Princess Leia. Like, who wants to be one of those princesses that are stuck somewhere waiting to be rescued?
Well, she has her moments, but there were no girls in movies. And, you know, and I try to explain this to my kids. I'm like, you know, come watch the Drek I had to watch as a nerdy kid. Yeah. She was so great. She was such a standout. And going back and watching it again, you're like, yeah, she's not just standing there. Like, she kind of trampled all over them. She yelled at everyone. She yelled at the Wookiee. She was so anomalous.
And I've read so many great sort of fan theories and fan analysis of her now that we're through the entire saga, and just the whole thing where, why were we so worried about Luke going to the dark side? And like, she was just as much Vader's kid and probably even more so when you watch her and watch the way she did things and her actions, that she had just as much potential to swing the other way as he did. And it's almost like, give her some credit. Now, in keeping with the theme, we have to mention food in Star Wars, and there's not a ton because they're too busy blasting things and fighting evil, but they have to eat sometime. So I picked out 3 moments, one from each trilogy, of varying levels of food consumption. In the prequels, the one that stands out to me is Padme and Anakin having sort of a little date she's wearing this leather, which it came out later that that was the costume that Lucas designed. And now we know how to spot a Lucas designed costume, because it was that one. It was Leia's slave outfit. Like, there's a theme, right?
Right. Exactly.
Clear theme there. But, you know, they've got this array of fruit and he's floating it to her on the Force. And we're suspending the basic factor of,
like, that was the romance that destroyed the galaxy. Really?
Right. 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 I mean, I get, like, he was clearly enamored with her from the moment they met when he was six.
Cause that's not creepy.
But yeah, it was a weird, I always felt like it was weird that she held him off for so long and then finally was like, all right, whatever, I guess I'll just date you now. But that's really the only, in the prequels, that's really the only food moment. So we have some fruit from Naboo that he's floating around. He's kind of, you know, he's showing off his Force. There's not a lot going on there. I think it's, in my mind, that moment's only there to show that they have now sort of a more personal bond than maybe they did before. And, you know, she's not a senator right now. She's just Padme hanging out with her
leather
potential love interest. I don't know.
Yeah, not a lot of food focus in that set of movies, that prequel set.
No. And a lot of talk about trade routes, though. So we have that. Always the trade routes.
Well, so we've got, I'm not going to call it the future because, of course, it was in a galaxy far away, you know, long, long time ago kind of thing. So it's the past. But in the past, like, everybody lived on, like, Lara bars and nutrient goop. It just, like, do you ever see anyone eating anything that looks like a meal? I mean, even when, you know, Luke is doing his chores and Aunt Beru calls him in and it's like, here's your nutrient glop, make sure you check the yeast vats. And I'm thinking, but you have interstellar travel. This is right. What we have to look forward to.
And that's when, so we move into blue milk. Like, that's the moment. That's the only food moment that I can think of, really. Well, okay, that's not true. The other food moments involve Jabba the Hutt and frogs. And that's not something I felt like we needed to delve into, because
alternative protein sources, but usually that's insects.
Right. And I, you know, aliens, they're going to eat what they're going to eat. It's all good. We're alien to them and all of that. But I thought we could probably skip over the live frogs. And so, you know, we have blue milk, which becomes iconic just because it's kind of funny, because in this movie that was known as a pioneer in special effects, the best they could come up with for the food was put some dye in milk, which Mark Hamill has now said was pretty gross.
I mean, they could have put fruity pebbles in it and kind of gotten the same effect. But, you know, when in doubt, if you want to make something look weird and alien, make it blue or green.
Right. Well, and then they revisit with the little homage in the new trilogy where we get green milk, which he does his best to make look nasty by that squirting scene, it straight from the creature.
Yeah, that scene was just disturbing. It was disturbing on every level.
I mean, that's not pasteurized. That is just straight. Yeah, that was
raw. It's got all the good bits of hay and
yeah.
We're talking about this earlier. My kids brought up the green milk, and I'm like, well, you know, you can milk anything with nipples, and you know. And then I was trying to explain that quote, and I thought, okay, never mind.
Right, and that leads down a whole different rabbit hole that you just if you're not prepared for it. Although right now we're in quarantine, we've got all the time in the world.
We got nothing but time.
Just watch everything. Well, and we've had good luck. See, the blue milk is something that's easily, for those of us that are trying to recreate fictional food, the blue milk is easy. But if you want it to taste good, you have to get a little creative. I mean, you can just throw dye in milk, but that's not going to go over very well. So my oldest, my 13-year-old, he has no problem taking blue raspberry syrup and putting it in milk and just drinking blue raspberry milk. Not my thing. He gets his Star Wars fictional food kick by drinking blue raspberry milk. Yeah. We had blue raspberry from Tarani for a while. Just like actual syrup that we ordered. And then I made simple syrup, but you add a packet of whatever flavor Kool-Aid you desire. And it's out there in the Pinterest universe as snow cone syrup, but he puts it in his milk so he can have blue milk. I mean, if you need a flavored syrup, it's an easy go-to. Sugar water, a packet of Kool-Aid, and you got almost whatever flavor you want.
Now, see, if we'd gone with the food route, if we'd been like, what did they drink in the cantina? Like, right. I could have done like a blue milk punch.
That's right. See, we could have gone down. That will be the drunken Star Wars episode that we'll save for another.
Oh, yes.
Another time. Maybe when we can all meet in person instead of all being at home.
That would be beautiful.
I've done some decent adult beverage blue milk, because as long as you have blue curacao and a splash of cream, it's going to look like blue milk, and then you can add in whatever other flavors float your boat. You know, it's a viable option if you're looking for an alcoholic blue milk, which clearly
that's pretty much what they do with it at Walt Disney World.
Ah,
all right. Okay. So they use a plant-based milk. It's a non-dairy. Mm-hmm. And they add vodka, rum, whatever your pick of poison is.
Solid. I like that.
Yes.
You can always count on Disney for a good adult beverage.
Very
a
true.
Good themed adult beverage.
And we did not taste test it when we were at Galaxy's Edge, but we asked around to some of the people that were taste testing it, and they all seemed to enjoy it, which was a little surprising. Well, it certainly doesn't look terribly appealing.
No, it does not. It does not come out looking like something that you think you want to drink. But since blue curacao is orange flavored, it adds a pretty decent. Like, you can do if you're fruity, like strawberry vodka with the blue curacao works really well. You can also do. It turns out if you're more green milk, skip the milk part. But like pineapple juice and blue curacao works okay. A little more tropical.
I was going to go straight to the Midori. It was in my pink lactic gargle blaster that I had recently.
Oh, nice. I haven't had Midori in a while. I enjoy Midori. Final food moment in the movies. New trilogy, Force Awakens. Rey gets her portion. And we get the very cool effect of this bread just like popping up into existence out of nowhere. And I read somewhere how they did that. And it's like Kraft foam and all this like crazy stuff that you don't want to eat, but it looks really cool. I did find there's a blogger, Just Jen Recipes. Oh, another Jen. Jen's everywhere. She does a lot of fiction recipes in general, but she does a ton of Star Wars. And she did one with matcha powder. They made a little loaf of bread. It was pretty good. To be quite honest, I'm not a huge matcha fan, so it was a little florally to my taste. So I didn't 100% enjoy it, but I enjoyed that it looked like Rey's portion. And that's pretty much it. That pretty much covers food in the actual movies. So thank God for Disney.
Absolutely.
Right? Which, I mean, people have lots of feelings about Disney one way or the other. But in this case, I say thank God for Disney. And so, Jen Fred, having been to Galaxy's Edge, please revel those of us that have not been able to get there yet with all of the magic.
You have to start out at Docking Bay 7. It is the quick serve in Black Spire Outpost, and the selection of Black Spire Outpost food that's available at Docking Bay 7 is fantastic. The one that I have to say we enjoyed absolutely the most was the smoked kudu ribs. I do believe the kudu is what Jar Jar Binks is riding. It's that thing, right?
I love it. I wouldn't have thought that Jar Jar would have gotten...
Well, it's telling that it's not Jar Jar ribs.
Well,
yes, it's not Jar Jar ribs.
There's that. Poor Jar Jar.
So what it actually is a smoked pork rib. And it's out of this world. It is so good. The other fun one that we had and kind of split and enjoyed, was the tip yip. And essentially what that is a big old slab of fried chicken over mashed potatoes and gravy, in our world. The one that looked the most interesting, but we didn't actually try it, was the Ronto wrap. And I forget exactly which animal it is in the thing, but there it's the dinosaur looking one. Not that they aren't pretty much all dinosaur looking ones, but it is essentially a mixed sausage in kind of a pita type bread. And it looked fantastic. But when you go to Ronto Roasters in Black Spire Outpost, the theming there is just fantastic. They actually have a Ronto on a roaster that you can see from the other side of the counter. It's totally fantastic. So that was the food that we enjoyed the most. Oga's Cantina, quite an experience there. I do recommend that you get advanced dining reservations if you're going to try and get in. You're limited to an hour in the cantina, and the drink selection is fantastic. So it's really what you would expect in any of the Star Wars cantinas. Some of the stuff is smoking when it's served, and yeah, it's just totally fabulous. And there's, you know, cantina music like you would see in any of the cantinas in the movie. Super fun. And then, of course, the milk stand. We were not brave enough.
I can't imagine, no matter what kind of milk it is, just thinking of Florida weather in general, I can't ever imagine just being like, you know, I could use a big refreshing glass of some kind of milk right now. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work.
Alcohol or not. Alcohol is an option, but yeah, no.
That is amazing. I love it. I mean, Disney in general does such a great job with immersing you in whatever world you're supposed to be in at that point, that I think for those of us that are Star Wars, whether you're a Star Wars fan or whether you're a Disney fan, you're going to find something amazing. And I know that when I do finally get there, I'll be running around like a fool to try to see everything and do everything and find all the little Easter eggs. And
you won't be alone.
Yeah. Well, there's that. There's
not at all. It truly is the most immersive experience at Disney. You really truly feel like you're walking into a different world, especially when you walk up to the Millennium Falcon. It's just, it's so well done. Everything there so well done. You don't even realize that you're still in the park. You can't see any other part of the park when you're in Galaxy's Edge. You don't hear any other part of the park. You really are in a Star Wars cocoon, and it truly is incredible. And much like everything at Disney, it revolves around two things: entertainment and food. So this really was, Disney really went all out to make sure the food fit in to the whole experience.
And I think that just, you know, food is such a huge part when you're learning a culture or a world or anything, food is such a huge part of it that just because a culture may be fictional, it still has to be there. It still has to be good and it still has to be realistic. If you walked in there and were eating chili fries and corn dogs, it would take you right out of the world that you're supposed to be in. So I applaud them. I think delving into, you know, touching on what is truly, Jen Fred, probably your fandom of choice, I think we have to probably on some level thank Universal and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter for upping the standard and upping the expectation when it comes to the world building, because Disney's always been good. Disney's always done amazing things and their queues are great, but just the level of detail that went into all of the Harry Potter elements that has to sort of make other parks and other companies go, oh, we better take it up a notch. That was a wonderful delving into the world of Star Wars and its food, mostly thanks to Disney. And hopefully we'll all be released into the wild to go check it out soon. I'm going to say thank you to both my guests, Jen and Jen Fred. Thank you all for listening. I hope you really enjoyed this first episode. We will be back in 2 weeks with Feasting on Steel Magnolias. Until then, stay safe, stay well, and keep on feasting. Thanks for listening and for supporting Feasting on Fiction. All the opinions of the panel are ours alone, and we're not associated with the media we're discussing in any way. If you'd like to support us, please head over to cookingthebook.com, check out our Patreon, and all of our social media. Thanks!